Okay, we have easy Gemara today, so we're going to cover a lot of ground. But Ezra Hashem, as we make our way towards the end of the Perek, B'Shah Tov U'Moslachas. We saw yesterday, right at the bottom of the Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the various qualifications for being a Dayan on a Beis Din. He has to be of prominent stature, etc., etc. One of the things that we saw, we'll come back to this, is that he has to be familiar with 70 languages. Why does he have to be familiar with 70 languages? We explained yesterday, because if not, you have to have a translator. Why is it a problem to have a translator? Because then you have violated the halacha of aid mipi aid, a witness from a witness, meaning the dayanim, if they are hearing the testimony from the translator, then they're not actually hearing it from the person or the people who actually witnessed the event. They're hearing it from somebody who heard it from the Edim. So it's all now secondhand. And that contravenes the rule of Eid Mepi Eid. We will come back to that halacha in a couple of moments. So have a look now at the very bottom line of Daf Yud Zayin Omud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Ein Moishivin B'Sanhedrin. You would not place on the Sanhedrin, Elo, Mi Sheyoideya L'Taher Es HaSheretz Min HaTorah. Now this is a very, very interesting sounding Gemara. We know a sheretz, what's a sheretz? A rat, a mouse, something like that, is something that becomes tummy. It dies, it becomes tummy. And if you touch it, then you in turn become Tommy as well. So the Gemara is telling you that you can only appoint to the Sanhedrin somebody who is wise enough to be able to come up with a good argument to actually be Metahir Asheretz. Nobody is suggesting Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. Nobody is suggesting that you would actually be Metahir the Sheretz. The Sheretz is definitely Tommy, no question about it. But can you, based on your Torah knowledge, come up in theory with a convincing argument to prove that a sheretz might well be Torah? If not, then clearly you're not proficient enough in the Torah and you can't become a Dayan. But make no mistake, nobody is suggesting that you have to retire the sheretz and change the halacha, chas v'shalom. The halacha remains that a sheretz is tummy. Omar Rav, so Rav said, I can come up with a convincing argument. I can come up with an argument, a theoretical, obviously not a practical, a theoretical Torah argument to suggest that a sheretz should be tahor. Why? So these are the last words on the Omud. Omar Rav, ani edoin, I can judge, I can calculate, va'ataharenu, and I can be metahir asheretz. Now, what is the argument that you could, in theory, propose that a sheretz should be tahir? She says as follows: Uma nochosh shememis. What's the halacha of a snake, by the way, that dies? Is a snake that dies Tommy? And the answer is no, it is not.
Rabbi,
point out there are various creatures, 8 in total, that are considered a sheretz, and if they die, then they are Tommy. None of these animals, by the way, are Tommy in their lifetime. They're only Tommy after they die. But even then, it's a special halacha that pertains to 8 specific creatures, and a snake is not one of them. Even though, says the Gemara, Uma nochosh shememis, a nochosh has the ability to kill. Everybody would agree that a nochosh, a snake, is much more dangerous than a little mouse. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, I've got a kal v'chomer. Uma nochosh shememis, if a snake which has the ability to kill. Now, if a snake kills, What will he cause? Well, he'll cause a lot of dead people or dead animals, all of whom will become Tomei. If a person dies, as we know, he becomes Tomei. We just learned that on Shabbos, Zichuk HaSatira. If an animal dies, also becomes Tomei. So the snake has ability to produce a lot of Tuma in the world. Because a snake can go around strangling and biting and poisoning people and animals and causing a lot of Tomei. So the Gemara says, Uma nochosh shememis. If a snake can kill umarbe tumo, and it can cause a great generation of tumo, can generate a lot of tumo, even though it has that ability to create tumo, nonetheless, tahir, after it dies, it itself is tahir. Even though it l'chayra has a lot of connection to tumo, by virtue of the fact that it can create, it can cause tumo. And nonetheless, after its death, it remains tired. Well, if that's the case, sheretz she'einoi memis, a little mouse that cannot kill, umar betuma, it cannot cause any increase of tuma, einoi din she'ehi tair. So wouldn't logic follow a kal v'chaima? Wouldn't logic dictate that if it cannot cause tumah, well, obviously it cannot itself be tummy. After all, a snake can cause tumah, lots of it, by killing people right, left, and center. And nonetheless, it doesn't become tummy. So a mouse, which cannot even produce that tumah because it doesn't go around killing people, told Shekane that it itself should not become tummy. Therefore, says Rav, I have just come up L'chaira, with a theoretical, convincing argument to prove that a sheret should be tohur. Have a look at Rashi, top Rashi on the Omud. Uma nochosh shemeimis, a snake that goes around killing odom ubehema, both people and animals. Umarbe tumas nevelois v'tumas meis. What are the two particular types of tome that it will increase in the world? Nevelos. What does nevelos mean? If an animal dies without shechita, well, then it becomes tome. So if the snake bites an animal, a cow, and it drops dead, it's tuma. So too, the tumas meis. If the snake bites a human being, thus killing him, so the person will become tumas meis. So it can produce a lot of tuma ba'olam. And nonetheless, the halacha is harehi tohir kishu meis. And nonetheless, it itself, a snake, when it dies, remains pure. Why? She'einoi bichlal shmoina shrotzim. It is not included in the main shmoina shrotzim. There are eight different types of shrotzim. Creepy crawlies, we might call them. And eight of them are clearly listed in the Torah as becoming Tomei after their death. And a snake is not one of them. Despite the fact that the snake is a great cause of Tumah. So it can be a great cause of Tumah because it goes around killing, and yet it itself is not Tomei. So Kal V'Chaimah, Sheretz, which cannot even be the cause of Tumah, Kal V'Chaimah, it itself should not be Tomei. So this will be an example of a theoretical discussion, an argument to put forth to be Matayr Sheretz. Now, of course, there's a big problem. Why is there a big problem? Because it's such a convincing argument that why is he not true? Why is he not right? We have a principle of Kal V'Chaimah. So if he's come up with a Kal V'Chaimah, we said it this morning in Davening, on Rabbi Shmuel, one of them is a Kal V'Chaimah, first one. So here he's come up with a Kal V'Chaimah to prove that a Sheretz is Tohei. Why is he wrong? The Gemara says, well, he is wrong, V'lahi. It is not so. Midi, just like Dahava Akoitz Ba'alma. What's a koitz? A koitz is a sharp implement, a sword, or a, I don't know how they translate it in art scroll.
Thorn.
A what? A
A
thorn?
thorn.
Right, it's a sharp implement. If you have a koitz, if you have a very, very sharp thorn, that can also be lethal. That can cause a lot of death.
Bleeding.
Right. Look at Rashi. Velohi, lav kal v'chayma hi. It's actually not a sound kal v'chayma. The aim zeh chayma? Because that doesn't make it any more heavyweight. The basis of every kal v'chayma is you're considering it heavyweight. It's no, it's not heavyweight at all. Imhu meimis umarbe tuma. The fact that it can kill and increase tuma in the world is not really significant. Shahari kamoi kein, because similarly, yesh koitzim. There are plenty of thorns in the world which are equally dangerous. Shehein mamisin, they can cause death. Umarbin tuma, and can cause an increase of tuma in the world, and nonetheless, vehein tohoirin. Nobody suggested that a thorn is tummy. So you see that what? But the whole kal v'chomer is flawed. The fact that you can kill and increase tumor in the world has no bearing whatsoever on whether you yourself are tummy. So therefore, don't try and prove and compare a snake to a sheretz, etc., etc. One can kill and one cannot kill. It's all totally irrelevant because a koitz can also kill. And therefore, a koitz can increase tuma in the world. And nonetheless, it remains tohir. So you see, therefore, that the halachas of tuma and tahara are totally not dependent on your ability or lack of to kill. In which case, your whole argument to be metahir the sheretz is not a good kavod for you. Yeah.
Couldn't we learn this from Parah Aduma? The whole, whether logic works in Tuma and Tahara, the whole question about the person that comes to make you Mitaher, he himself becomes Tomei. That's the Chok. So you see right from there that there's no correlation of logic when it comes to Tuma and Tahara.
That is a general rule. I mean, that's a specific halacha in Parah Aduma, which is called the Chok. Nobody suggested it's a general rule.
Because, no, because the person who's bringing, here I'm coming to literally make you Tahar and I become Tomei.
That's a specific halacha in Paraduma. That's why Paraduma is called a chayk. Paraduma is the only time in the whole Torah that you find this concept. Nowhere else.
Rav, I'm just curious if the halacha says that in order to sit on the Sanhedrin, you have to be able to make this argument of a Sheretz theoretical argument. Why are they giving an argument that doesn't work? They give us an example, but at the end of the day, the Gemara says, Narishkai, this is not a good argument.
That's going to be the answer to any argument. Meaning, when we say you have to come up with an argument to be Matara Sheretz, by definition, the argument can't be true. Because if it is true, then we have a problem because the Torah says the opposite. So by definition, it means you have to come up with a potential argument, which, in all honesty, if you think about it, must by definition be flawed. Okay, says the Gemara, and this is very easy Gemara. I think we can learn almost an entire Omer today, Ms. Hashem. Omer of Yehud, Omer Rav. Kol ir, any town, she'ein bo shnayim ledaber, if it does not have two people to speak. What does that mean, two people to speak? We'll see in Rashi, it means 70 languages. Ve'echod lishmoya, it's got to have at least one who can at least understand 70 languages, albeit he's not able to speak. If you don't have those three all together, Ein Moishivin Bar Sanhedrin, then you cannot have a Sanhedrin in that town. You've got to have at least two who are proficient in 70 languages and a third who's able to understand them. Look at Rashi. First narrow line. Shnayim Ledaber B'Shivim Loshen. Two of them who can actually speak the 70 languages, the Echod Lishmoya, And another one who could at least listen, Shehei Maven. At least he could understand B'shivim Losha in Afal Pi She'enu Yoidea Lohoshiv, even though he's unable to respond. So now, what is the obvious difficulty in the Gemara we just now learned?
It says
over here that if you have a town in which you cannot come up with at least three Dayonim who are familiar with 70 languages, two of whom must be able to speak it, one of them enough to be able to understand them. If you don't have those three, then I'm sorry to tell you, you cannot appoint a Sanhedrin. Now, this is l'chaira extremely problematic, because didn't we just learn yesterday that this is the qualification for every single Dayon? Every Dayon, we said, has to be of impressive, prominent stature, and has to have the ability to speak 70 languages. So why is our Gemara telling you that you need to have three people, one of them cannot even speak the 70 languages, just enough you can understand them, but so far, altogether, just three have familiarity with 70 languages. Didn't it sound like on the previous Gemara that you have to have every single Dayon proficient in 70 languages? Not enough to have three. And the answer is, this is something which troubled me much, and I looked into it, and the answer is as follows. We mentioned yesterday, and again at the beginning of today's shir as well, why is it necessary for a Dayan to be able to speak 70 languages? The answer is because we want to avoid having a translator. If you have a translator, then the Dayanim are not being makabel, the Eidus, from the Eidim themselves, but rather from somebody who heard it from the Eidim. So it's now secondhand, it's not firsthand. So the Gemara over here is teaching us, apparently, that in actuality, you don't need all 70 Dayanim to be able to speak 70 languages. It's definitely a Maila, and it's a Hidur, but you don't need all 70 to be able to speak, or all 23, to be able to speak 70 languages. It actually suffices to have three who are familiar with the 70 languages. And that way, three Dayanim have in fact been makabel the Eidos from the Eidim themselves without necessitating a translator. Once you've got to that stage, then they can share that with their fellow Dayanim on the Beis Din. So it's only a problem if none of the Dayanim can speak 70 languages. So you're going to have a translator, which means that the entire Beis Din, where do they hear their testimony from? Not from the Eidim, but rather from the middleman, the translator. But once you have three Dayanim on the Beis Din who can understand the Eidos given by the Eidim in whichever language it is, the fact that they now share that with their colleagues, that does not break the rule of aid mipi aid. The rule of aid mipi aid is only broken when the entire Beis Din needed to base themselves on a translator, which means not a single Dayan on the Beis Din actually received the Eidos directly from the Eidim. And that's what our Gemara is teaching us. It suffices to have three Dayanim. They heard it from the Eidim. It's true, the other, let's say 20 on the Beis Din did not, but now that you have three, they can share it with the other Dayanim.
Is it not true we're talking about Sanhedrin Katana here? Because we're talking about each and every city.
Right, correct. Correct. But what we said in the previous Omer applies also to Sanhedrin Katana. Now, it turns out, therefore, so how many do you have to have in total of the 70 Dayanim or of the 23 Dayanim? In the local Beis Din, you only actually have to have three who are familiar with 70 languages. You do not need to have all 23 Dayanim. Says the Gemara.
If the Beis Din doesn't have three people that can speak, would the Beis Din still exist and they just wouldn't hear a case of that needed translation, or it would be
Buttle. Without Eidos, there's no Beis Din. If you hear the Eidos indirectly, that's not called Eidos.
No, maybe they would only field cases where they could speak to the Eidim.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
And
then you have. Oh, sorry, I didn't understand what you're asking. Yeah, 100%
no.
right. Yeah, for sure. So if they're familiar with French, they'll only have French Eidim. If they don't know Japanese, then Japanese Eidim will not be able to help them at all. Yeah. L'chayra, l'chayra. L'chayra. Not 100% convinced, to be honest. Says the Gemara, Ube Beitar have a shloisha. In Beitar, there were indeed three, not just two. There were three who were able to speak the 70 languages. Ube Yavne, there in fact were arba, even more. In Yavne, there were four. Who were they? Rabbi Eleza, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Loza. The Shimon HaTeimoni, Don Lifnei and Bekarka. Shimon the Taimoni, although he was the fourth of this group, but as we'll see in a second in Rashi, he was of lower stature. Look at Rashi. Shimon HaTeimoni, Talmid Hoya V'loi Nismach. He was a Talmud of the others. He hadn't yet received his smicha, and therefore, Shaloi Bo L'chlal Zikno. He hadn't reached the necessary age to receive smicha, and therefore, that's what the Gemara means, Don Lifneim Bakarka. He therefore had to sit, as it were, on the floor in front of the Dayonim and could not be sitting up there with them because he was not of equal stature. Says the Gemara Meisver, we have a big kasha. It says, Shlishis Chochmo and Revius Eilema Lohimeno. What does that mean, Shlishis Chochmo? So Rashi explains, if you've got a Sanhedrin that has three Dayonim who can speak the 70 languages, and that's considered a wise Bezdin. If you have four, that's even better. Wow, what a tremendous minor. But what does it clearly state in that, Bryce? So what's the absolute minimum? You've got to have three. That's not what we said before. Before we said it suffices to have two, plus one more who can understand the 70 languages, even though he doesn't speak it. But yet here it says, you have to have three, not just two. The Gemara says, you're right, but there's another braisa. Hu domar ki hai tana. He follows a different tana. The tana, it says in the braisa, shnio chachomo. If I have two dayonim who are able to speak the 70 languages, that's considered a wise bezdin. And shlishis, if you really have a third, wow, that's something extra special. Ein lamar lo himeno. There's nothing better than that. But you don't really have to have three. You have to have two. So indeed, we have a steerer. One Bryce says you have to have three. One Bryce says you have to have two. No way to reconcile that contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's machlekas. So when we said before that you have to have two who are able to speak the 70 languages and one who understands them, we're clearly going with the second Bryce because according to the first one, however, two would not suffice and you have to have three. Have a look at Rashi. Shlishis chachma, Sanhedrin sheyesh bo shloisha medabrim b'shivim loshin. If you have a Sanhedrin of which three dayonim are able to speak the 70 languages, chachma, that's a wise bezdin v'ksheira, and it is kosher. Alma, what do you see? Shloisha boinon medaber. So it would seem to indicate that you have to actually three who are able to speak the 70 languages. And the Gemara says you're quite right, but we're going with the other brace that says you only have to have two. Reb Nachum, I must say your question is bothering me a little bit. I'm not convinced that what I said to you before was correct. Reb Nachum asked a very important question. The Loshna of the Gemara is that if you don't have three people or two people, you can speak 70 languages and there's no Bezdin. So Reb Nachum is asking a legitimate question. I understand that if Adam turn up and they speak Japanese and there's nobody there who speaks Japanese, well, then you're stuck. So we can't now judge this case. But they do speak other languages. They speak English. And if Adam can speak English, then they'll definitely understand every word. So why is that a reason not to appoint the Bezdin in the first place? Or maybe you would appoint the Bezdin. It's just that we have to have a big sign up in the Bezin, we don't do Japanese here. But yet the Gemara is not mashma that way. That's why your question is bothering me of nothing. The Gemara is mashma that you've got to have the ability to speak 70 languages. And if not, there's no Bezin. What are you going to say? Well, I speak 65 languages. That's pretty good. So most cases we'll be able to deal with. And then once in a blue moon, that somebody comes and talks Swahili in the Beis Din, so we'll pass them up. And yet the Gemara is not much for that. The Gemara says you've got to have the ability to speak 70 languages, and if not, it's not a Beis Din.
Maybe it's because they don't want to discourage Adim.
Why?
In other words, if my son Sam speaks Hebrew, but if I told him he had to give a definite, you know, something, a testimony in Hebrew, he says, I can't do that. So in order for you to go to be an aid, you have to say, you can go to this Beis Din, they speak every language. There's no chance they're not going to understand you.
No, but what have we achieved by not appointing the Beis Din? Well, then there's no Beis Din at all. So you also won't go to Beis Din, so we haven't achieved anything. In the local Bet Shemesh Beis Din, I've got three Dayanim who speak 69 languages. What are you going to say? No Beis Din. Well, that also doesn't encourage any Edom. So now the Edom can't go to Beis Din because there is no Beis Din. I would have said to the contrary. Have Dayanim who can speak 69 languages. It's better than nothing. It means 95% of cases will be able to be considered.
So maybe it's a qualification, not a logic. You know, 70 languages, right. You're at a certain level of a person.
This is the logic of Edom P8. It's a technical problem. You can't be Makabal Edus from a Torah woman. Fine. So if ever I have to do that, we won't judge that case. Why is that a reason to disband the entire Beis Din? Okay, it's a Chiddush. Blinet, I'll try and look up in the Rambam, see if you have further information. Okay, says the Gemara. Lemeidin lifnei chachomim, quote unquote. The Gemara now is going to make a whole lengthy list. It's not really connected to what we learned before. Very often, and those of us, all of us, Baruch Hashem, who've been learning Gemara now for a number of years, we're used to various turns of phrase in the Gemara. There's lots of different expressions. And often, and this is really this comprehensive list, an Amora is always described in a particular phrase. Whenever we use a particular phrase, it's always a reference to one singular Amora. So for example, if it says the Gemara, Lameidin lefnei chachomim, quote unquote, the one who learned in front of the chachomim, who is that a reference to? Whenever it says that phrase, says the Gemara, it's a reference to Levi mi Rebbe. So you have to remember that. Next time you see in Shas that phrase, Lameidin lefnei chachomim, it is a reference to Levi because he learned from Rebbe. Then you have, for example, next expression, Donin lefnei chachomim, quote unquote. You know who that is? That could be Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon ben Zoima, v'Chanan ha-Mitzri, v'Chananya ben Achinoi. Nachman by Yitzchak added another one, Masni Chamisha, Shimon, v'Shimon, Chanan v'Chananya. The entire list of four we just mentioned, plus Shimon ha-Temoni, which, by the way, is the reason why we're discussing this, because we just mentioned before Shimon ha-Temoni. Rabboiseinu Shebabavel, quote unquote. Sometimes the Gemara says, our rabbis from Babylon. Babylon. Who is that a reference to? Why can't I just say the names? The answer is, that's always a reference to Rav Shmuel. Rabboiseinu Shebaretz Yisrael, quote unquote. That's Rabbi Abba. That's who it's talking about. Dayone Goyla, the Dayonim of Goyla, quote unquote. That particular expression is a reference to Karno. That was his name. Dayone Eretz Yisrael, quote unquote. That's Rabbi Ami Verb Asi. Dayone de Pompadisa, quote unquote. Rav Papa Bashmuel. Dayone de Nahardoi, quote unquote. Who are the Dayonim in Nahardoi? That's always a reference to Rav Adar Baron Minyumi. Sabi de Sura, quote unquote, the elders of Sura, that's Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Sabi de Pompadisa, quote unquote, that's Rav Yehuda and Rav Ina. Charifi de Pompadisa, the sharp ones of Pompadisa, who is that? That is Aifa v'Avimi, Bnei Rechavim. Amorai de Pompadisa, the Amoraim of Pompadisa. It's also a phrase that occasionally you'd find in the Gemara, you should know. That is a reference to Rabbo v'Rabbi Yosef. Amaroi d'Nahardoi. Who are the Amaroim of Nahardoi, quote unquote? That's Rav Chama Nahar Baloi. Masnu Romi Barebi, Omri Beirav, Masnu, quote unquote, if it says the word Masnu, they taught, then you should know who is that, or he taught, that is Romi Barebi. If it says Omri Beirav, quote unquote, who is Omri Beirav? That is Rav Huna. So whenever somebody quotes Omri Beirav, it must be quoting Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, 1 second, doesn't make sense. The Omarav Huna, Omri Beirav. We find that Rav Huna himself quotes Omri Beirav. So how can you tell me that Omri Beirav is a reference to Rav Huna when we find that Rav Huna himself is quoting that very reference? He's clearly not quoting himself. Hello, Rav Hamnuna. You're quite right. You made a mistake. It's not Rav Huna, it's Rav Hamnuna. Omri b'ma'arava, quote unquote. They said in the West, which means in Eretz Yisrael. Who's they? Who's that referring to? Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Sholchu mitam, quote unquote. Sholchu mitam means they sent from there. They sent from overseas. Who's they? Who's it referring to? Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. Machku olea b'ma'arava. Sometimes we have an expression, machku, machku, I think means they were mocking in Ma'arava. Who is that? Who's that referring to? Rebeleza. Says the Gemara, 1 second, v'ha sholchu mitam ledivrei Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. How can you tell me that sholchu mitam is a reference to Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina when we have an expression once in one place in the Gemara, it says sholchu mitam to Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina? So who's doing the sending? Can't be Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina was sending to himself. Elo epoch, you're right, we have to switch those last two around. Sholchu mitam is Rabbi Elazar, and Machko ala b'marava is Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Okay, so like I said, this is a very easy Gemara. It's really tangential. It's not really connected to our sugya so much. The Gemara only brought it in because we mentioned, by the by, Shimon HaTemoni, and that's why we got to this whole list. Okay, so Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we're going to begin the new Gemara. Are we going to make our way? We'll finish, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem this week, the Perek, do Chazara, and Be'ezus Hashem, we move on to the second Perek, which I'll tell you all more slachas.
Yes, of course.
Well, have a